Welcome to UbuDub, and we're starting a new series of podcasts. And I'm very pleased to say that for this first one of the series, we're joined by Mr. David Thomas.
Hello!
And we're bringing you news of a new album.
Yay!
Called By Order of Mayor Pawlicki.
As many thousand years before, these old rocks were the bones of a haplocanthosaur.
David, do you want to tell us about it?
Well, what can I say? I don't want to say it's a rare album. I mean, Perubu does great shows, but as a matter of course. But this is a particularly standout show. It pretty much rages from beginning to end. It's pretty brutal in its consequences. And it's also one of those shows where everything is breaking down everywhere on stage and we just keep going. And when you're new to the band, that's sometimes a startling feature. You know, we had a recent guitar player who broke his strings and I just said, well, we're going next song. But he says, but my strings are broken. And I said, I don't catch up. You know, it's, you know, we don't stop. What are you going to do? Just sit there and watch somebody change their guitar strings or fix a broken drum? No, you keep going. And even when the mic went out, you know, I hit some note that blew the mic out. And, you know, and people were running around and the house crew was saying, oh, don't yell at me, don't yell at me. And I said, I'm not going to yell at you. You know, just, you know, let's get it sorted. And, you know, two or three songs went by. That's why we replaced them with songs from an earlier show.
I was backstage giving all the stage crew chocolates and telling them it's fine. Just calm down. It's fine.
This poor kid came up to me and he was all like trembling, you know, as I was sitting on stage, you know, in the middle of the show. And I said, oh, please don't yell at me. It's all, you know, I said, I'm not going to yell at you, and laughed really loud. You know, if you want me to yell at you, I'll yell at you. But in the meantime, let's get this underway here.
I got these arms and legs and flip-flop, flip-flop. I got these arms and legs and flippin', 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 flappin', 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 flappin'. It's a mess. It's a damn, damn, damn mess.
Let's just give some context to the album and then I'll tell people why he probably was scared stiff that you were going to yell at him. But it's the Co-Ed Jail Tour that took place over a great number of months, really, everywhere from Texas to Europe. And this was one of the final shows, I think, headlining the Jarocin Festival in Poland, which is incredibly well-known and kind of controversial for a number of years. And the Co-Ed Jail set was the songs from 1975 to 1982.
Yep.
and it included the famous sock dance of Mr. Thomas.
Oh, it had lots of features in it. Yep, sock dance was in there, and beforehand, I was, the title comes from the fact that they had come up to me in the sound check. I said, there's an echo in my monitor. There's latency in the monitor. And they were going, no, there can't be, you know. And I said, there's latency in the monitor. And they said, you know, I kept on going about how I was wrong. Finally, I lost it. I just screamed at them saying, there's latency in the monitor, fix it. And we all walked off.
If I could just interrupt.
Yeah, you.
It wasn't that brief.
No.
It went on for a considerable amount of time, and much more than the F word was used. And we were in the most picturesque town square outside.
Yeah, well, I'm sure the locals were a bit shocked. Well, I don't, you know, they're the ones who kept saying I was wrong, you know, and I know that I wasn't wrong. You know, I even identified the equipment they were using. They were using that Chinese stuff that, oh, I can't remember the name of it now. It's what everybody uses these days. It's the cheapest PA stuff out there. And I knew it was one of their ADD converters, you know, because I've run into that before. And so anyway, they kept on telling me I'm wrong. And I kept on saying, there's latency in this monitor, you know. And they were explaining to you and Nadan that no human being can hear that sort of
thing. Oh, you're racing ahead.
Because I'm racing ahead.
Because, all right. You know, yeah. After this epic rant, all the band left the stage and went to the green room, and Nadan and I ran to the green room expecting to find you absolutely throwing things around and breaking windows. And you were very calm and said, just go and sort it out. So we went back, and Nadan found the problem.
Yeah, well, they were recording us a little cache down under the stage, and they had run a line from my mic to their equipment, and then out to the PA where Nadan was mixing, and that's where the latency was coming from. And so Nadan traces it, and they were saying to Nadan, no human being can detect that. It's milliseconds. It's a millisecond at the most, you know, or something. And Nadan and you looked at each other and turned back to him and said, you're talking about David Thomas here. And, you know, that was what it was.
I got text messages all day saying, you know, it's not possible that there was a day. And right up to the time when the show started, they were still telling me that you'd imagined everything, but the problem was fixed in the show.
Well, I identified the equipment. I didn't imagine that. How would I have known it was that Chinese manufacturer, and how would I have known this and that and the other? You know, there was latency in there. You know, I don't care if other human beings can't hear it. You know what? It's me. I'm the singer. You know, I heard it. You know, you move. It's very distressing to move your mouth to push air past your vocal cords, and then to hear the sound later than you're actually producing it. That's why I know there's latency, because I'm moving my mouth. You know, you have to remember that time slows way down for me when I'm on stage. I'm sitting there between syllables doing crossword puzzles in my mind, you know, something like that. You know, I slow time way down, way, way down. And, you know, if I can tell the difference. I can hear what's going on.
Anyway, enough chit-chat. Let's hear how the show started.
We'll be right back.
shadow on the wall. Remember lots of tune when you dance at night. Maybe sanctuary is electric light. When I get so tired of time, I'm not a man. Everything I see seems a soul on the head.
So there we go. There was much more to the story. I mean, you'll be able to read all about it on the packaging, but pretty much everybody in the band had been affected by some mishap or other leading up to that. And as you may have gathered from that first track, it actually resulted in a sensational performance, which had several mishaps along the way.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, In the middle of dub housing, I delivered a line, then the line is simply talk, and it blew the mic out. I mean, it maybe someday release the track on Hey Arpan or Ubutique or something, and people can hear. It's no big deal. It's no spectacular explosion. It just collapsed. Just the mic just shuts off.
But by your own instructions, the band played on.
Yes. Well, what are we supposed to do? I mean, I'm not going to stop the show. Yeah. So I just I went to the front of the stage and sang without a mic to the audience. You know, they enjoy that sort of stuff. Audiences like that sort of stuff.
So what we've done is take those songs out where you had no mic, and we have inserted from an earlier show when Tom Herman he did the European tour, and Tom is playing a song that he's particularly well known for, the My Dark Ages song. Let's take a listen. Trying not to race through everything because there's so many things to be said about this album.
Yeah.
But in the CD pack, we're doing the bonus disc again. The bonus disc is called...
We don't do encores.
And it consists of...
Encores.
So there's the encore from the Monkey...
Oh, I wanted to do... In the Monkey Net tour, I determined to do an encore of the absolute rock anthems of all time. And we did Kick Out the Jams, Sonic Reducer, Final Solution, and Teen Spirit. You know, Teen Spirit into Final Solution. It was only along the way that after choosing these four rock anthems of all time, I realized that I had written two of them, but that's neither here nor there.
But then you get, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, the almost... flip side of Peru Boo in equal measure with Gagarin and Keith Molyneux, Daryl Boone on the Visions of the Moon tour.
Yeah.
A Zagreb performance, which again was another standout.
Yeah, it's a pretty bizarre performance since we all hated it, you know, but then Nadan kept on saying, Nadan's our sound man, and he's from Croatia, and he kept on saying, no, it was brilliant, you know, and we're going, yeah, who cares, you know, and it's only later that we heard it, and yeah, it was pretty good show. That was the night of Harry the Fly, where there was a fly in the dressing room that befriended Gig Dids and hung out with Dids for quite a long time until he squashed him.
I mean, I haven't been around Perry Boo for very long, and I was quite surprised when I pitched this album. You know, people don't like live albums, but when I look at the Perry Boo catalogue, most of the live albums have completely sold out.
Yeah, well, I don't know. They sell out. Oh, Perry Boo live, number one, I don't, you know, most of them have come from cassette tapes. This is one of the very rare instances where we've done an album that's not from cassette tapes. That's just a band live is a totally different thing from a band in the studio, and Perry Boo live is a totally different beast. You know, we're pretty much dedicated to entertaining the audience. Now, some nights we entertain them by being arty and mysterious, and that's, you know, that's the gig. Most nights, though, we got rock in there, and you know, we're pushing the buttons. I know the buttons, you know. You may not think that, you know, I know every damn button there is to manipulate an audience. It's just that, you know, I choose not to do it, you know, most of the time. But I'm capable of manipulation at an extraordinary degree.
Another thing that you get with Perry Boo live performances is your chit-chat between songs. Now, that actually has a historical reason.
What, you mean because I had to, well, in the early days, Alan Ravenstein, well, he always had an EML, which required analog synthesizer, which requires considerable repatching between songs, and so if you ever hear one of those things, one of those early Pirate's Cove tapes, unedited, you know, there's vast gulfs of time between one song and the other. That has got nothing to do with me. You know, I'm ready to go. It's just that he needs the time. So in the end, I'm standing there like a lemon, and everybody's looking at me because I'm the lousy singer, and you know, I'm supposed to do something. So I started talking and making stuff up and just rapping it to the audience, as it were, you know, and telling a story or leading them to believe a story was being told. You know,
well, that's one of my favorite things that you do when we're in front of a non-English speaking audience. It's when you go, well, you don't know what I'm saying, and you don't really care what I'm saying. I can just go, rah, 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 and you'll go.
Oh, yeah, that's on the album. Yeah,
I love that. It's magic every single time. The only other place I've seen it really work was Italy. They love to be heard during the gig.
Well, I've spent most of my career telling stories to people who don't speak English. You know, it's a zen career. You know, I have to just tolerate the fact that mostly nobody understands what I'm saying. They just have the good graces to pretend that they do.
One day we're going to have to do a video representation of the sock dance, which is something that I think has now been put to rest forever, but I don't believe there's video evidence of it.
Oh, I think there's some somewhere. I just haven't looked closely
enough.
Where
did that come from?
Oh, I can't remember. I don't remember this stuff.
Oh, you must remember the day where you decided that what you were going to do was take your boot off, take your sock off, stand up and wave your sock in the air in four different directions, sit down again.
Well, no, I don't. It just occurred to me that I ought to do something. We had this long musical passage, which was pretty laid back, you know, and non-eventful. And rather than just sitting there looking like I'm A, sleeping, or B, just hanging out with the band, you know, I decided, well, I ought to do something here. I'll do a sock dance, you know, and that's was that. I don't know. How hard is this stuff to come up with? Well, I don't know why more people don't do things, you know. I mean, there's nothing else to do. You may as well. I probably thought about it on the bus all day, traveling through some endless countryside. You know, I thought, oh, I'll do a sock dance.
So I've got to ask the kind of question you hate, which is 75 to 82. How do you compare playing those songs to the first time you played those songs? And what changes? And, you know, lots change, so don't flip it off. Tell people what changed.
We learned the songs better. I don't know. That's about it. I like all the songs. All the songs are part of me. I don't have a bad period in my life that I'm ashamed of, you know. So I enjoy doing, I've done probably Heart of Darkness more than any other song you can possibly imagine, you know, and I enjoy it. I don't care about doing it again, the 478th time.
But then these songs, you know, you were the only one that was there at the beginning. So you had different musicians coming in and putting their own interpretation on those songs all those years later. Yeah. I mean, it's lovely to see Michelle bopping along. She never stops for the entire performance, always moving. Yeah. So it is, it's going to be different. It's going to be different from how it sounded then.
Well, yeah, but what do you want me to say? It's different. I don't know. It's still the same song. It still depends on the same dynamics, you know. We always do songs slightly differently anyway. I mean, there's Heart of Darkness or Final Solution's gone through, which are often played songs, have gone through endless changes over the years. Even back then, we would change them quite a bit from time to time. One night it would be more laid back and more acoustic-y. We have acoustical sort of versions of them, and you know, dance electronica versions of them, and hard rock versions of them, and soft rock versions of them. I mean, you just do them. You do them how you feel them.
My only other abiding memory of Yarachin is that number one, the cheap cigarettes, which is always a bonus. Mm-hmm. But we only sold 3 T-shirts all night. Festivals are pretty crap for merch, and we do like our merch.
Yeah, we like. The only reason I do this is to sell T-shirts, but.
People are discovering Perubu all the time. Young kids are discovering Perubu all the time. I see it on social media. So would it be valid for them to start with this album?
I don't know where you would start. You know, it's a bit late to start. You know, if you haven't discovered us, there's a wide range of things, you know, and there's albums people will tell you, oh, I didn't like Why I Hate Women, or I didn't like blah, blah, blah. Well, 5 years later, the same person comes up to me and tells me how great Why I Hate Women is. You know, there's a big geography of Perubu albums, and you can start wherever you happen to start.
I kind of disagree. I mean, I've been the flag bearer of this album, as you know, from the beginning. I think I started nagging you about it the week we got back, that we should release it. And the fact is, a kid can pick this up and hear all the original songs, and such an amazing cross-section of what Perubu do on the bonus disc of the CD. I personally think this is the one. If anybody wants to know where to start, they start here.
All right, you fine with me. Start here. I don't know.
And buy the T-shirt.
I just sit back here in my studio and crank this stuff out. I don't know. That's about it as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I'm going to hopefully be speaking to other musicians in the band in the upcoming podcast, and to Johnny Drumette, who did the artwork for it. And I'm going to ask you another question you don't like.
Yeah.
Choose one track, David. One track from the album which you would say, that's it. That's the track.
I don't know.
Just one. You can do it.
I don't care. No, I can't do it. I'm tired of this.
All right. All right. I'll choose. Thanks very much for listening. See you next time. Bye.
All right. Bye.
Dance around. No, he's... Yeah. Just like this. Look, it's easy. Uh-huh. But all you gotta know is that something never stays the same. It's never, 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 ever gonna be the same one time in the next.